Welcome back to the Professional Church Worker. My name is Tyler.
And I'm Luke.
And we are back to talk more about first year in ministry, whether it's in your first call or at a new congregation. So the last episode really just turned into things we wish we would have known. And I think we only talked about three or four.
I think so.
But time flies when you're having fun.
That's right.
So there's something I want you guys to know, too, is there are so many more. There's so much. 20 minutes is not enough. 25 yeah. minutes is not enough to go through a lot of this stuff. And we would, I think there will be times that we circle back, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And we'll probably have to go back and watch these videos and take notes on what we talked about just to remember. But yeah, we want to jump into more of that first year in a new call, first year in ministry. And Luke, we'll have you start us off with things that you think you did well in your first year in ministry, which for you would be your first year and first call.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
And I got a couple that I'll share that maybe are in my first call or in my first my second or third call.
Yeah, first year in those next
framework calls. Yeah. I set up that I learned I needed, if that makes sense.
Absolutely.
So maybe that's how
it makes sense to me. Yeah. I don't know about them, yeah. But
so we'll have you share, and then I'll share some thoughts on when you're transitioning into a second call or a third call, frameworks I set up to be more successful. And a lot of that actually I did here in my current call. I've only been here 15 months, I think. But here I set the highest standard I've ever set because it's my third call or fourth call, but third call in parish ministry. And I left ministry and I came back into ministry to cover this church. So I said, I need to make sure I set this framework up, or I'm not going to survive. I'm not going to want to do this again. So Luke, if you want to start us out.
Yeah, absolutely. So things I think I did well, I'm going to start with preserving my day off. I know this one is a struggle for a lot of people. You know, whether it be, you know, there's just always so much more. We were talking about this earlier. There's always more to do.
Ministry's never done.
It's never done. And you know, coming into my first call, as with, I think, many of us, although not everybody, I was single. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, what am I going to do with my day off? I might as well go and work.
Yep.
I actually did a pretty good job.
Okay.
I don't know that I necessarily, as a 23-year-old, used it well. I mean, like, I probably could have done healthier things during that time, but at least I was not going into church.
Yeah.
Because there's, even if I'm just, you know, playing video games or watching Star Trek, nerd alert.
Star
Trek, yeah. Okay. Although I'll watch any of them. it gives that separation in your brain. Mm-hmm. It gives it a break. As we know, ministry can be so mentally, emotionally, mm-hmm. physically draining. Mm-hmm. And so to even just take that time to do something stupid, you know, is valuable.
Yep.
It's so, so valuable. And I will admit, that first year I did a good job, but I have had years in the almost 15 years in ministry where I've had months where, you know, I've not done as good a job.
Well, and there's seasons. Like, there are seasons where you are going to put in more hours.
Right, right.
But if you, and that's across the board. If you're youth ministry focused, you're going to do a week-long trip with kids, with students at some point, most likely. And that's 24/7, you're with the kids, and that's life. And then when you get back, you should hopefully have two to three days of being home with your family. If you're not attached or single, pouring into yourself, or doing fun things for yourself, and that's stuff that you need to make sure that your pastor or who's ever supervising you, like, you got to make that clear. And if they don't have that same expectation of you, I would be concerned. That would concern me. So my first year, I did not guard my time. I am a natural social person. I need it.
Yeah.
I can't function being alone, which is unhealthy. It is. It is unhealthy. But
knowing that about yourself is so valuable.
But my first, I was at church from 7 in the morning till 7 and 9 at night. So I didn't want to go home to my empty apartment. I moved from Wisconsin to Michigan in a town I knew zero people. Zero.
Mm-hmm.
And the one person I knew was my brother-in-law's dad, and he moved to Ann Arbor like 2 weeks after. And I didn't even know him that well, but he like took me out, Rob Casper, and sat me down and said, here's a mechanic, here's a good way to lay out ministry. Like, he mentored me in that taking me out to lunch, like, mm-hmm. was awesome. And to have that, and I still stand by some of the stuff he shared with me as a very seasoned pastor who could breathe into me, but I knew nobody, not a single person. And so I didn't guard my time because I'm like, I got to meet these guys. So I was going to worship practice. I had nothing to do with worship. I was hanging out because there's young people my age in the worship band and hang out there and whatever. But the thing is to set that precedent so you can, and this is how I shared it with younger people in ministry. Carve that time out now, because when you have a family, you're going to need that time.
Absolutely.
And if you set the precedent that you're a church worker and you're going to be at absolutely everything all the time, when you get a family and you stop going to everything all the time, people are going to start being, well, where's Tyler? Because we're used to seeing him there. And then they're like, he's not doing his job. Or these questions arise that are not okay, that aren't. That's not saying you're not doing your job, but you set it up as you're the person who's always at everything. And then when you're not, it's a natural thing to question, right? And so I did not do that well. I did it well here in my third call. Mm-hmm. I have 2 days off a week. I don't know what you are. You
1.5 kind of.
1.5. Mm-hmm. All right. So everyone's called different. My first call, I was a 6 day a week employee. Mm-hmm. My last two calls, I'm a 5 day a week employee. And the RSO, we worked 4/10.
Oh, interesting.
So that was awesome.
Yeah.
That was awesome. That was really, really nice to do that. But there are times I have to work Saturday. I have to work, you know, Friday. But I try not to. I try to not check my emails. I pretty much unplug. I got 3 kids and a wife now, So setting that up is very, very important. But also knowing there are going to be seasons where I'm busier, or I'm here a couple evenings, you know, teaching something or being at a meeting or this or that. And my something a pastor shared with me is, as long as you aren't doing more than 2 evenings in a row, you know, if you're getting to 3 or 4, it's like, you know. But also having that healthy balance, like, I'm going to come in late because of that. So,
agreed.
All right. Absolutely. Next,
you know, you talked about coming over to Michigan and not knowing anyone. Mm-hmm. I was the same way. Mm-hmm. And so the next one I'll say that I did well, it didn't immediately start that way.
Okay.
Having a life, having a social network outside of the church. It took my DCE program director, who is still the program director at Concordia Chicago. Okay. She'll never watch these, but Debbie, you're awesome. coming for, you know, one of the supervision visit things and saying, Luke, you have to create a life outside the church. You can't continue to do this. And so I joined an indoor soccer league, they absolutely became my friend network outside of church, and we played together year round for like 2-3 years.
Oh wow.
And so we'd have a game once a week. We'd go to the restaurant Old Chicago.
Okay.
And we'd get some pizzas and some beers, and we would just hang out for like, sometimes it was like 2-3 hours after an evening game. And that was so, like, it had I mean, you know, they knew I was a church worker, and so I had the opportunity to share things I do at church and share ministry and stuff, but they had nothing to do with my church.
Yeah.
You know, it was purely that connection and that social network outside.
It's nice to not being asked, like, oh, do you know about this event? Or, oh, what are you?
Exactly.
So I did not do that well in my first. I don't know if I've ever done that well because of the nature of where, I don't know. Like, so my first call, we had a church basketball team that I joined. So it's still all members of my church, sure. Right? You know what I mean? And our pastor and stuff. And so I was really plugged in and kind of dove in, and everything was the church I was at. And I got to develop some good relationships there. And then I met my now wife, mm-hmm. like at my church. So we spent a lot of time together. And then I think I started to kind of make those connections. Like, I was friends with my cluster, right?
Yeah.
Which are people outside your church. But then also I started a young adult small group, and we had people from not just Trinity, but we had people from one or two other churches.
That's awesome.
And it was just all young adults.
Yeah.
And so that for us, yes, I was leading the small group. Yes, it was sanctioned by the church I worked at. But it also was a community of people who weren't just at my church.
That's fantastic.
And that was really beneficial. And now, like, I'm the godfather to some of those kids. And so that transition into lifelong friendships, mm-hmm. right, and relationships. And now, like, it's a network of people even still that I'm in contact with that are outside, right, my current congregation. I also have all my camp friends, like, that I still am friends with. But the hard thing there is, like, none of them live here, right? So,
sure.
But I do think there is a big value in finding people outside of your congregation. Mm-hmm. I would agree with that, whether it's a soccer league, mm-hmm. Or even, like, getting involved in your community or your neighborhood, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Like, so, and it can be friends of other Lutheran churches. Like, you know what I mean? Like, exactly. that counts. Like,
yes.
But yeah, I do agree with that. I think my family is such a big focus right now for me that it's harder to do that. Right. Mm-hmm. And Jesus' greatest miracle is having 12 friends in his 30s. Like,
but I feel that as well, that, family is much more of a focus mm-hmm. now. Yeah. Sure. So how about you? Things you perhaps did well. I mean, and you were saying before, maybe specifically here at St. Mm-hmm. Paul, as you started this.
Yeah, so I think things that I've really set the groundwork here was kind of what Luke said, is preserving my day off. That sometimes I'm a little too strict on that, but trying to figure that out. But I think family's your first ministry, I'm blessed to have a phenomenal supervisor and pastor here with me, and just he's helping me heal from former unhealthy practices and unhealthy expectations, to be able to say, hey, I need to go home today. This is happening. Or, hey, this happened. Or, I started my house on fire not that long ago, and I have a bad leg and back right now. So for me to go to my appointments and stuff, and just being able to do that is huge. I think other good practices here are being really open and saying, like, during the call process itself, when you're interviewing with the church, saying, that your first call, and sometimes, like, a lot of your calls, you do want to look attractive if you want to leave somewhere, right? Or if you feel like God's calling you to step somewhere else, you do sell yourself mm-hmm. a little bit. Like, I get it's the call, it's the divine call, all this stuff, but I do think there are times where, like, my time is up here, God's calling me somewhere else, I want to make sure they know what I'm good at. Right.
Yeah.
But I think when I took my call here, I just said, this is what you get. This is who I am. And I didn't necessarily sugarcoat who I am.
I completely agree that is so important, mm-hmm. but it takes time
and it takes
confidence in who you are. Yeah. And even
I just talked to my pastor who was on the call committee for me. Like, Tyler, we talked about this yesterday. He's like, you really undersold yourself. And I'm like, But I didn't even know if I wanted to get back into ministry. And I just said, hey, this is how I do ministry. So being open and transparent, if they extend you a call and you accept that call, but you're open and transparent from the get-go, you have that to fall back on. It's like, hey, this is what I said I'm good at. This is where I said I excel. This is how I said I want to do ministry, and you chose to call me. So please don't be surprised when I do what I said I'm going to do. Yeah. And don't oversell yourself and sell this big dream and then underperform, because then they have every right to be like, hey, this is what you said you wanted to do. And it took me time to do that and learn and grow. I think something I'm a lot better at now is not checking my emails when I'm home.
I'm not good at that.
And I do that actually because Lexi told me she took her email off of her phone, her work email.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why don't I just do that? And this is her second or third year ministry. Like, she taught me something, who is this old grizzled vet. Like, it was,
let's be honest, Lexi's pretty wise.
Lexi's very smart. Yeah. Lexi's very wise. Yeah. And but I took it off my phone and it
better be watching this now.
I took it off my phone, and it's really freeing to do that. So not to do work at work and be home when you're home. Now, there is a fine line depending on we're dealing with humans and people and individuals. And like I said, my focus is middle school and high school, and high schoolers don't know boundaries. So they'll text, and sometimes I'll just follow up real quick. Mm-hmm. Right. But I know that used to drive my wife crazy early in ministry. It's like, I always want to be available all the time for students. Mm-hmm. And what if I'm not? And what if this happens and that happens? It's like, you know what? Like, I can have dinner with my wife and put my phone away. I can spend time with my kids and put my phone away. And so I'm much better at those boundaries right now. And even like I said, sometimes I defend them too much, where I'm like, nope, like this is my time.
Yeah.
But there, you have to bend, you have to shape. And you know, pastors, like a really healthy pastor is super busy during, you know, Lent or leading up to Christmas, right? Like all of Advent, you know, all that stuff. But I hope that after, between those, they kind of, we see them less. And they're like, that's what I want from my pastor, is they to model that healthy.
Yeah.
Hey, there's seasons. This season, I'm really busy.
Agreed.
Summers, I do a lot of trips. And when I'm not doing the trips in the summer, I'm kind of taking it easy. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, I'm coming into work and getting stuff done, but I'm not putting in a lot of extra time, because I'm literally putting in overtime all the time on a week-long trip, right? So learning that balance. I'm trying to think anything else that I could have done better or that didn't do well. Do you have another thought there?
Well, while you're thinking, I was just going to say, you know, we're sharing some things right now that we've done well in either our first call or the first year in subsequent calls. If this is something that, you know, you're well into a call and you've not done well at it yet, that's okay. You can start where you're at. It doesn't mean, oh man, you know, I haven't preserved my day off, and so now I'm stuck until I take another call. Yeah. No, I mean, you might not be able to immediately change things, mm-hmm. but you can start working towards those.
And communicating, hey,
great.
I haven't been healthy. I need to be healthy. Yeah. And if you can, because if you just change what you're doing, people will ask questions.
Yeah.
If you like, so, and questions aren't like, and so a big thing that I encourage, my biggest pet peeve is when people ask questions that are accusations.
Mm.
And I always say, seek to understand before you seek to accuse. And not everyone can do that, and that's fine. But if you allow and share the understanding before the question can even be, well, why are they doing this? Like, oh, hey, I need to start honoring this day off. Those at least who are called, you can point to your call papers and you can be like, hey, see this? Like, that is supposed to protect you. But even volunteers, even part-time people, like, I know a lot of part-time people that are working full-time hours and getting paid part-time. And like sometimes you just got to take a breath and be like, no, like I either take a step back and last another 5 years or don't take a step back and last one more year.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so being careful with that.
Yeah.
Our time is running out.
It is.
Man.
Yeah. I was just going to say, you know, you've talked about pastors and, mm-hmm. And I think, Aaron, Pastor Rhino,
yes.
models, you know, a lot of these healthy mm-hmm. things. And I think my pastor, Pastor Hoyer has done that mm-hmm. as well. So, you know, even in our doing these things, and even when we have to take a step back and say, you know, I've not been doing this well, and then communicating,
yeah.
as you said,
yes.
I need to change.
Uh-huh.
You're modeling to others
mm-hmm.
that sometimes we have to change.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think, and Luke, correct me if I'm wrong. If someone feels like they're stuck, you're technically now, especially in Michigan, right? Someone that they can go to, hopefully, to maybe help advocate a little bit to help yeah. them create that healthy balance.
Yeah. yeah.
He can hear you, listen to you, and maybe even talk to the people that you have to answer to, right? Like whether it's a pastor or a board or whatever, and help you help your congregation help you to be healthy.
Yeah. I can't necessarily change
the
dynamics of your congregation or anything. But yes, I would like to be there to listen, mm-hmm. to help, to mm-hmm. See what we can do to help
yeah.
Make things healthier.
Yep.
Absolutely.
So I think, man, these are just flying by. So I think that is all we have time for. I think like we originally thought, we might have to do a couple more of these.
Yeah.
First year in ministry. But thank you again for tuning in. And we'd love to hear from you. We'd love to get some feedback. If these are helpful, maybe they're just refreshers and reminding you like, hey, I should think about how I'm working. Mm-hmm. Hey, I should think about, you know, how I'm communicating or whatever that is. So thank you again for joining us. Until next time, thank you. Thank you for watching us and come check us out. Spread the word to other church workers that you know and church work volunteers. So
God bless.
See ya.